Rings, Swords, and Monsters, Lecture 5. Tolkien, The Fellowship of the Rings.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them, in the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie. It took Tolkien nearly 20 years to complete the sequel to The Hobbit that his publishers had asked for after The Hobbit's enormous success. Tolkien knew right away that his connection would somehow be the ring, but he didn't know how he would develop it. This lecture is going to focus on The Fellowship of the Ring, the first book in The Lord of the Rings. It's important to note right away that Tolkien wanted The Lord of the Rings to be published as one gigantic book and not as a trilogy. It's always called a trilogy because The Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, and Return of the King. But that was done simply to save paper and to minimize production costs. It was not Tolkien's original intent. In any event, we're going to work through The Fellowship of the Ring in this lecture, The Two Towers in the next lecture, and The Return of the King in the third. And in doing so, we're going to tackle a variety of the different themes that Tolkien treats differently in each of the books. There's no point in trying to summarize the plot of The Lord of the Rings, which is a million-word novel and has more twists and turns than even a Hollywood movie could keep up with. But it will be worthwhile for us to work through bit by bit and see what each of the major pieces of the narrative is doing, from the development of the heroes to Tolkien's commentary on different kinds of medieval civilizations to his big picture ideas about morality, addiction, freedom, and transcendence. When Tolkien set out to write The Lord of the Rings, he knew that the connection between The Hobbit and the sequel would have to be Bilbo's ring. It was the one major loose end that he could connect something with. But he didn't know how it was going to work, and he was very troubled by things that had already been published in The Hobbit that now he didn't want to have to undo. So at the end of The Hobbit, he had suggested that Bilbo would live happily ever after till the end of his days. Well, he didn't want to change that by having Bilbo have another adventure. He started to work out that a nephew, cousin, or son would be the right way to go, to bring in a new character, some descendant of Bilbo, or relative, at least. He tried to figure out what would go on with the ring, and at first, and this will be kind of surprising to anyone who's read the books, he writes of the ring, not very dangerous, if not used frequently. This is, of course, the exact opposite of what he came to believe of the ring, but he really didn't know what he was doing. In fact, as you can see from reading the drafts, Tolkien thought The Lord of the Rings would be about as long as The Hobbit. At one point, he says to his publisher that he thinks he's going to be done with it in about a month or two. 17 years later, he finished. The great gimmick for The Lord of the Rings is the ring. And the gimmick is this. The ring belongs to Sauron, the Dark Lord, a demonic being with great power. Sauron is attempting to conquer all of Middle-earth, but he is hampered in that by his loss of the ring. Years and years ago, Sauron made the ring and poured much of his own power into it. But a last alliance of men and elves defeated Sauron and then cut the ring from his finger. And the ring was then lost, and Sauron weakened. But Sauron came back, and the ring was found by Gollum, kept in a cave in the Misty Mountains for many, many years, and then passed to Bilbo, and then to Bilbo's heir, Frodo.